Another 1,000 miles or so.
I didn't mean any harm.
How many you chilled altogether?
Gribble blinked nervously at Ryan. His thick-lensed spectacles had been broken during the attack of the previous night. He seemed almost blind, his eyes wide and vulnerable.
I don't recall.
Try.
Not everyone you see in my portraits of old-time life. Most, I guess, but there was a couple died natural.
20? 30? Come on, must be that many in the town here.
Gribble licked his lips.
Well, you have to understand that they didn't all work out properly. Made some mistakes, especially early. Had to reject some specimens.
Ryan glanced over at his friend. Time was passing, and they had a pressing appointment up in the northwest with Abe and the trader.
One last time, Malachi. How many folk have you chilled?
I could tell you if I referred to my books. I kept an accounting, you see. How old, and dates, and clothes, and the weapons, and with the woman, whether I had, you know...
You fucked the corpses?
The little man trembled, tied upright to the fence, his head turning from side to side as if he were seeking a light.
Altogether there was around 70 or 80. But I could never get enough children. What I wanted most was to have children. Really love children.
Ryan holstered the blaster.
Waste of a bullet. We should have left the sick little fuck for the rats.
The violent chemstorm of the previous day had done a lot of harm to the highways and trails of the region, slowing their progress, some of the time to a crawl, sometimes slower. Streams had become rivers, and many of those rivers had burst banks, leading to detours of several miles to find a safe fording place. It took them 3 days to get clear of Colorado and across the old state line and up into the San Rafael Valley of Utah.
Into the second week.
They lay on warm grass and chewed the roasted flesh of a wild turkey that JB had shot with a Steyr the previous evening.
Yeah, making good time, though.
We've been this way before.
JB thought about it. He'd taken off his glasses, leaving them on the sun-dried turf at his side, his fedora next to them.
Not for a while.
I remember a ville west of here. Could be a ways north as well.
JB threw the gnawed bone against the slender willow tree that stood near a narrow stream, hitting it smack in the middle of the delicate trunk.
I think I was off with War Wag too at the time. Was it a baron who collected firearms?
Yeah, but not in a big way. Not modern stuff. His interest was flintlocks, wheellocks, percussion caps, muskets, dueling pistols, old blasters. I can't remember his name. Baron... something to do with numbers. Tenbos? Yeah, that was it. Baron Tenbos.
Don't remember. Like I said, I don't think I ever been there. Trader sent me off on some fly-swatting trip. Little place near the Grandee. I'm nearly sure that's what happened. It was a long time ago.
I'm sure that was the name. Baron Tenbos.
Baron Tenbos.
Ryan was in the driver's seat of the LAV-25, with JB poised in the turret, ready to slam down the top at the least sign of any threat.
All right if we pass through?
The SEC man wore a dusty uniform of maroon and black, with a nondescript post-dark rifle remake slung over his shoulders. He stood by a long striped pole that rested across the highway. Ryan thought that he had to be one of the least threatening SEC men that he'd ever seen.
Baron'll like to meet you. All outlanders interest him. Especially when they come driving along the blacktop in an armowag like that.
Ryan had the ob slit a little way open, and he nodded, then realized that the man couldn't see the gesture.
Sure. What do we do?
Keep right along until the fork in the lake with a boulder sticking up out of the middle. Hang a left there. Up a hill and you'll see another sec post. Stop there and let him clear you on through. Straight ahead and over the bridge, and you're in the ville. Just like that. Can't miss Baron Tenbos's place.
Thanks.
Welcome. That sure is a pretty wag. Does that cannon work? Blow the shit out of a mutiny army, that would.
Sure would.
Ryan was careful not to answer the question about the 25mm Bushmaster, for which they had no ammo. Trader used to say that a man who told his enemy his weaknesses deserved to buy the farm.
Just two of you's in there?
Right.
Go ahead.
The Sec-Man lifted the counterbalanced pole and waved them through.
There wasn't trouble in this ville, was there, Ryan? Not riding into a blood feud, are we?
Nah.
You sure?
Maybe.
Ryan had a vague memory of Tembos as a chunky man, broad-shouldered, with the tan face of an outdoor person, with a free and easy smile. He was in his late 30s or early 40s. Married? Ryan thought for a while as he steered the wag past the lake and up to the next sec barrier. No, he decided, he wasn't. The ville was a collection of scattered buildings of the type that had once been called condominiums. There had been a lot of climbing and snow sport in the area before the nuke holocaust, and small settlements had sprung up all across Colorado and the adjoining states, catering to the influx of tourists. Now the area around Tenbos's domain was mainly farming land. Raising horses was a staple, along with hog ranches and some cattle on the open range to the north. Most of the expensive apartment buildings were built from local wood, dark stained, but the years had taken their toll. Nearly 100 years of wind, rain, bitter frosts, and scorching summers had rotted many of the buildings, levering out windows and splitting doors, stripping fragile shingles off roofs and flooding basements. But there were still enough habitable for the occupants of the ville, which one of the Sec-Men estimated at around 250 souls. Baron Hamish Tenbos lived in a strange circular tower that had probably been used as an observation deck and revolving restaurant in the pre-dark days. Now there was a drinker at the bottom of the building, where Ryan and JB sat and waited to meet the ruler of the ville. Half a dozen other men lounged around in the gloom, all of them members of the Sec Force. Despite their casual approach, the two outlanders had been impressed with their laid-back professionalism.
Don't need flash uniforms and pretty blasters and marching around like a gaudy slut in a tantrum to run a tight ville.
The wag had been locked and secured in a vehicle park to the flank of the 100-foot tower. Ryan had made sure all the obslets were safely sealed, just in case.
Why do so many barons like big, tall towers for their own headquarters? Some sort of delusions of power?
Could be.
The man behind the bar was around 5 feet tall, with a pencil-thin mustache and a pallor that made it look like he didn't get much sunlight. A tattoo of a butterfly was just visible inside the collar of his pale yellow denim shirt.
How about another sipper?
On the baron. Tenbos looks after guests. Not like the cock-cutting sons of bitches you get in some of the vills.
I'll have a beer. Make that 2 beers.
Coming right up, Captain. Sure you wouldn't both like a spodiote?
Dark night. Run 100 miles in the opposite direction rather than drink that vile stuff.
Spodiote. Name rings a bell, but what is it?
The barkeep smiled, showing that he'd had his front teeth filed to points.
It's the nectar of the gods, Colonel. Brings a glimpse of paradise.
Glimpse of the bottom of a bucket of cold puke.
Fine muscat wine mixed with some good home-brewed whiskey. That's spodiote. Sure I can't tempt either of you with a glass? On the house.
No. I had some once. Kansas. My 25th birthday. Crew bought me a quart, ready mixed. I tell you, Ryan, I don't think I've ever, ever felt so sick in my life when I woke up next morning. Headache right across my forehead so that even opening my eyes was like razor wire, heated white. I started to throw up in just 15 seconds, and I was still doing it 8 hours later.
The barkeep brought over their beers, smiling as he listened to JB's recollection of spodiote.
Can lie a little sickly on the stomach if you aren't used to it.
I remember some mix of fruit juice and honey and brandy and beef fat with crushed bananas that brought on the dreaded rainbow yawns.
JB took off his glasses to polish them.
Nothing as bad as spodiote. I got to know the inside of that bucket better than the inside of my own blaster. Twisted my gut so bad I kept expecting to see my ass drop out of my mouth.
JB, that's disgusting.
Yeah, Ryan, I know.
The armorer turned to one of the sec men.
Baron Tenbos still collect blasters?
Only old stuff.
Not ready for a rebellion, then.
Ryan rarely encountered a baron who didn't have contingency plans for a revolt against his or her authority. Not all that many barons died in their beds.
No, doesn't even have much ammo for them. Too much trouble to cast. You know, most things are...
The barkeep straightened, picking up a cloth and starting to polish one of the row of goblets in front of him.